Okay, good luck, everybody. It's always a schuss to be back together here, just to start Bichloi Lachsanya, to thank the Shriers, to thank Aliza Sarit for opening up your bias and always putting together. It should be Bez Hashem, a big schuss of an entire year of Simcha and Bracha for the entire Mishpacha. We're in the middle of very, very important holy days. The days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, just a few days before Yom HaKippurim. This past Thursday night, Friday, was the Yortzeit of my Zedi, Yitzchak Ben Moshe HaKayin. And my father made at his house a Siyam, a Yortzeit Tzuda. And there's a Yid from the block, a very holy Jew. I'm not going to share his name because he's too big of an Anav. And he's a massive Talmud Chacham, who is a businessman, but a massive Talmud Chacham, who gives a shiur on my parents' block is very special. They have a shiur every week. And he gives it, and he's like the Rebbe of the block. And he was there for the Siyam, and my uncle spoke, made the Siyam, my father spoke, and then as he was leaving, he came over, gave me a Shalom Aleichem, and I say to him, Gemar Chesim Tov, he doesn't respond, he just like looks at me with a smile. And then he did the same to my brother, and he leaves. So my father looks at me and says, oh, he has a tainus dibur, all aseres yemei tshuva. He has a tainus dibur, all aseres yemei tshuva. 10 days straight, he only speaks if it's to daven or to learn. For all of aseres yemei tshuva. There's a yid in our midst, in the five towns. I'm not saying that's for any of us, and that might be something that's out of the realm of possibility for many reasons. But just to hear such a story of a yid in our midst, who, for each and every one of us, to instill in our hearts how chashuv, how holy, how important these days are. The magnitude of these days. The awe we should have for these days. And the preparation we have to have for Yom HaKippurim. That's what I want to talk about tonight, Yom Kippur. You know, MS, I'll tell you, Yom Kippur, and this might sound strange, like in a vacuum, I love Yom Kippur. I know there's certain people who dread it, because people don't like fasting. Most people, I don't think, like fasting. And those of us who are into davening, like that much davening is a little too much for some. And a lot of people are more excited for Matzah Yom Kippur, for it to be over, and to be excited for Sukkos. But hopefully those of us that are here, that are here, Matzah Shabbos Kodesh, week after week, understanding the Kedusha of what it is to be a Bas Torah, the Kedusha of what it is to be a Yid, sacrificing all the other things in this world to learn Torah. We understand what I mean when I say I love Yom Kippur. I mamish love Yom Kippur. It's of the highlights of my entire year. I look forward. It's of the most special days of the year. And what is that I love so much about Yom Kippur? So I'm going to explain tonight. You know, we often speak at this table, at this shir, we've said over many times, how the name of something really tells us about the essence of the being, or the essence of the day. We've said many times, if we understood our names, we'd understand our kochos, our abilities, our midos, what our tafkid achayim is, what our purpose in this world is. And the same is true for Yom Tovim. The name of the Yom Tov is very, very special. And the name tells us a lot about, we spoke about this last week, Rosh Hashanah a little bit. Rosh Hashanah we mentioned, right? So Yom Kippur is pretty obvious. Yom Kippur is pretty easy. We all know Kippur means atonement. Kippur means atonement. To be forgiven. To have a little bit of a clean slate. The day of that. So that makes a lot of sense. But there are a bunch of different words of being forgiven. Slicha is forgiveness. Mechila is forgiveness. Probably the one we use most often in our lingo, to be meichel, right? To be meichel someone. That's mechila. We want slicha, we want mechila. Yes, we want kapara as well. But why is it Yom HaKippurim? Why not Yom Shel Mechila? Yom Shel Slicha. Why Yom Kippurim? I know Yom Kippurim we're used to, so it's like hard to ask such a question, right? You can't really ask a question, why is Chanukah? Well, Chanukah, a lot of us know also, but when we're used to things, so it just seems like that's how it has to be. We're only used to it because that's how it is, but why was it formulated like that? Why was it founded like that? Why not Yom Shel Slicha? In fact, the Gemara in Tainus Daf Lamed talks about that Yom Kippur is of the greatest days in the year. That in Tubav, we're not going to talk about Tubav now, but why? Because it's Yom Slicha Mechila. It doesn't even mention Kapara, we'll have to get back to that. So if it's such an amazing day, it's Yom Slicha, so let it be called that. Yom Shel Mechila. Yom Mechila. Yom Slicha. By Yom Kippurim. So in order to answer the question, we have to understand what is Slicha, what is Mechila, and what is Kapara. And why then do we emphasize the Kapara? Because it is the day of Slicha Mechila, surely as well. But why in the name, which is the essence of the day, do we emphasize the Kapara aspect as opposed to the Slicha Mechila? So Slicha is forgiveness for a shogig. When you do something by accident. We all throughout the year are involved. We have a lot of interactions with people, interactions with the Rabbonu Shalom, and accidentally we do things that are wrong. Shabbos Kodesh, it might have happened during the year that you shut off, I don't mean anyone here, that a person shut off a light. You go to the bathroom, it's the middle of the night, you walk out of the bathroom, shut off the light. Everybody in this room, nobody would ever, in a conscious state, want to shut off that light. You woke up, you forgot it was Shabbos. Middle of the night, you're not thinking. It doesn't even have to be the middle of the night. You forgot, and instinctively you shut off the light. It's completely bishogeg. You still did some maisa, you did something wrong. Right? You did something wrong on some level. You have to ask for forgiveness, but it's a much lower level. It's bishogeg by accidentally. Sometimes in life, in our interpersonal relationships, nobody wants to hurt another person. But maybe you said something that you didn't realize you hurt somebody else. You made them feel bad because you said something. It was completely bishogeg. Completely by accident. So that's, what do we want from the Rabbeinu Shalom for our chatoim, our sins? Bishogeg mechila. That's cool. I'm sorry, slicha. Slicha. Slicha, slach lanu, is on our shogeg. Okay? Mechila, forgiven, to be forgiven, milasha mechila, that's for something that's bemezid. That's for something that's done on purpose, which is incredible. We can understand that there's such a concept of mechila, of slicha. There's a concept of forgiveness for something by accident. That makes a lot of sense. That should be logical. That the Rabbeinu Shalom will also be willing to forgive when we do something on purpose. Bemezid. Which, lo aleinu, at times happens. Where our mamash don't have control. And even though we know it's wrong, and we know we shouldn't be doing it, we still do it. We're working on it. We'd like to be better. That's why we have a Yom Kippur. We're gonna daven to get better. But Lashon Hara, sometimes it's completely accidental. Sometimes we know what we're saying. We know what we're doing. We know it's an Avera. It's very, very difficult to be perfect in that, right? Could be amazed. And there are other areas in our life. All of us are on our own level. We're working on. So that's Mechila. But you know what it is, even if you, sometimes, right, let's take with our Ben Adam Chavero, sometimes you have a relationship and somebody wrongs you, whether accidentally, whether on purpose, and they come and they ask forgiveness, and they really mean it. Sincere. Sometimes it's not sincere, and that you don't even want to listen to, right? But when it's really sincere, MS, and you see they mean it, you see they feel bad, and you forgive them. You're a good person. You're not holding a grudge, even though that's sometimes very hard. And you forgive the person. But then there's a... So you forgave them. You gave them, whether it's slicha on an accidental wronging, mechila on a b'mezin, on purpose, done wrong to you. But let's be real and be honest. Is that... When that ends, is that relationship the same? Is that relationship immediately the same? There's still a stain on that relationship. There's still often a feeling where you're still someone, you've forgiven them. You're not holding the grudge, and you really meant it also. But you don't think in the same way of that person necessarily. You don't necessarily have the same warm feelings towards that person. The relationship has been stained. Now, sometimes with time, it's that stain is healed and that stain is cleansed. And you're back to a point where you were before anything happened. Sometimes when it's something very serious, that stain stays for a very long time, or if perhaps even forever, God forbid. And relationships are destroyed because of things like this. Even when, and you don't want it to be, but the stain is there. So too with the Eibishter. Slicha means I forgave you. I forgive you for what you did by accident. Mechila, I forgive you for what you did on purpose. That doesn't mean the relationship is where it was. When Adam HaRishon sinned, and he ate from the Eitadas, it's the first sin of all of humanity. And he asked for forgiveness, and he did tshuva, and he was forgiven. But there was a stain on that relationship. We're still feeling it today. Because Raya, we're not in Gan Eden like he was initially put. The Yetzer Hara is within us. Kapara is complete atonement. Kapara means not only was I forgiven, but I'm back to as if I never did what was wrong. I'm back to that relationship as if I've never wronged. The blemish is completely gone. The blemish is completely cleansed. Complete purity. You know, kapara comes from the same source as kofar. When we talk about someone who's a kofar, that's not a good person. What does that mean? Someone who's complete denial of God is a kofar, right? Kapara is as if this complete denial, as if that sin was ever done. I'm back to as if I never did it. Not only forgiven for it, but there's a stain. It's as if I never did it. Complete purity. That's unbelievable. That's sometimes hard for us in our Ben El Mechavero, but we should strive for it. But what a gift of Yom Kippur. And now we understand the name, the essence of the day. It's not just we're going to be forgiven. We're going to go through the mikvah of Yom Kippur and walk away with kapara. Walk away with atonement. Walk away with a complete cleansing as if I've never done anything wrong ever to the Rabbanu Shalom. Wow. If we understand the power of that day, how could we not be excited? How could we not look at this as the best day of the year? That's awesome. That's amazing. That's the sweetest thing in the world. It happens to be Kippur is Gematria 306, which is exactly Gematria Dvash, honey. We have a minute to have honey these days. There's nothing sweeter than Kapara, than Kippur. Vad is Mechila and Slicha. But it's the greatest mikvah. That's all of Tishrei, but with the pinnacle being Yom Kippur. Tishrei happens to be, teach you an interesting deep idea in Gematria. Maybe some of you never learned before. We've said over Gematria is constantly here, so everyone's holding a little bit in Gematria for sure, but you know, not only the letters have Gematrias, but there's a deeper idea, Pichasidus, the Nakudos have Gematrias. And I'm not going to go through all of them right now, but every dot looks like every dot of a Nakuda is like a Yud. It's a little dot, right? Like a little Yud. So every dot is 10. So if you take the Gematria of Tishrei, Tav, Shin, Reish, Yud, is 910. But underneath, they're all together 5 dots. Right? Under Tishrei. Because there's a Chirik has 1 dot. And the Shin has a Shva has 2 dots. It's 3. And the Reish has a Tzere is 2 dots. So that's 5. You remember these names from like pre-1A? Don't worry if you forgot them. It's okay. But anyways, right? So you have 5 dots all together. 5 times 10, if each dot is like a Yud, is 50. So if you add the Nakudos, how we pronounce, with the letters, it's 960. Every mikvah, you know, has 40 saw. 40 saw has a measurement of 960 lugan. It's a measurement in the Gemara of how much water is in a mikvah. So there are 960 lugan in the mikvah. 960 lug in Tishrei, Begematria is 960. Because there are 24 lug in every saf, 40 times 24 is 960. Those were holding in math, right? Happens to be there are also 40 days from the beginning of Elul until Yom Kippur. And how many hours are in a day? 24 hours, not a trick question, don't worry, don't get scared, right? 24 hours, so 40 times 24, the amount of hours of the 40 days from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur is also 960. Meaning this is all one big mikvah. And a mikvah you walk into as one person come out a different person, completely cleansed. A non-Jew could walk into the mikvah and walk out a Jew. You don't think we could walk into Yom Kippur and walk out as if I did nothing wrong this year? What an opportunity. Yom Kippur. Not Yom Mechila, where I'm forgiven, but there's a blemish and a stain. Not Yom Slicha. Yom Kippur. What a holy day. It's L'malo min Hazman. It's above time. It doesn't even make sense. That's the gift of Yom Kippur. It shouldn't be this way. In our normal relationship, it's not that way. In the secular world, there is no such thing. But in our world, we have Yom Kippur. L'malo min Hazman. How do you see it's above time? How many days are in the solar calendar, in the years that we keep the secular calendar? 365, right? But what's the gematria of Shana? Shin Nun Hey. It's not a difficult one, right? No, the kudos don't get you crazy. Is what? 355. A year has 355 to it. But there are 365 days. 10 days missing. Sarah Shimei Tshuva. Because it's above time. It's a malam in his mind. It's out of this world. It's supernatural. These days, if you open up Achremos, and it goes through the Yamim Tovim, by all the Yamim Tovim, it tells you the date and then explains the holiday. By Yom Kippur, it talks all about the holiday and the date at the end. Because it's above the date. It's above the date. It's above time. It's a malam in Azman. The Pirkei de Elazar says, on this day, we're not people. We're malachim. We're literally angels. Pure. Mamish pure. That's the opportunity we have. That's what we're walking into. Who could not be excited for that? You know, I'll never forget. I'm sure I've shared this story before. At this time of the year, I always think about it. It's also one of the stories in my first Sefer in Bereishis. I don't remember which parsha, but it's there. So maybe some have read it. But I have the biggest chus in the world for the past many years to be in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, steps from Har HaBayis, Yom Kippur. Eretz Hashem going tomorrow. Hopefully you'll all meet me there with Mashiach. If not, we'll be back for Shir next week, hopefully, Be'ez Hashem. Have one before Sukkos. So I started a minug years ago. It's incredible, the whole experience. I mean, when Musaf, right, you read the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol, I look up and I see Har HaBayis, where it happened. Because I'm not normal, you know? What a schus. Lel Yom Kippur, give a shir to, maybe some of you, I don't know if anyone's been there, some of the women, listen from the women's section, give a shir at the Kaisel to all my Talmidim. Sit at the Kaisel till very late. Lel Yom Kippur sitting by the Kaisel. It's like, what more would anyone want in life? So, I started a minhag years ago, at least 10 years ago. You know, Baruch Hashem also, I'm there alone without my family. I don't mean I miss my family, I love my family, but therefore I have a little extra opportunity to prepare, not be bound by my children, and so I'm able to do things the way I'd like to prepare for Yom Kippur. So I started a minhag already years ago. I go, there's a tefillah before Kol Nidre, a beautiful tefillah of tshuva and tahara called tefillah zaka. I remember years ago, I used to be always rushing and be able to get to shul to say a little bit of it, whatever it was. So here by myself, I started this minhag. I go to the kaisel about 45 minutes before Yom Kippur. And I bring down my talis and my kittel. I put on my kittel and my talis at the kaisel. And I sit and say tefillah zaka there, and there's like nobody there. It's an incredible time because everybody's still preparing and still eating, and it's really, really special. That's how I enter into Yom Kippur every year. It's like an incredible schus. this first year, I'm there at the Makom I chose outside in the leftmost corner by the men's section, right where like you could go in by the men's section, all the way in the front outside. I'm there and I put on my talis and my kittel and I sit down in the corner and I have my machzer. I'm saying tefil zak, I'm trying to connect. And as I'm davening, suddenly I feel something hit me, like on my shoulder. Mamish, I'm telling. So I look, and I don't see anything there. So then I look up, and I see, like, staring down to me on this, like, little ledge on the koisel, a bird. And I was, like, looking right at me, like, yeah, I just got you, you know? That was the face. It was like, mamish, you know? So I look again, I look down, and again, nothing there. And then I see on the ground, Baruch Hashem, was dry, and it was all good, and it was fine, you know? But that's obviously what hit me. Maven Yavin, right? You get it. So my initial thought, honestly, this is how I thought. Right when that happened, then I realized what it was. I'm like, oh, that's crazy. It's weird. I don't know if this is a good sign. But I go right back into my machzer. And I'm telling you, I don't have the machzer here, but trust me, you could look into Tfil Zaka somewhere in the middle. The line I was up to, the line that I got up to, I read, I'm just going to tell you, it's in English, I don't remember the exact lashon in Hebrew, but basically, you've taken your begadim, you've taken your clothing, your garments, and soiled them with soa. Soa is exactly what hit me. Okay, so, now that's obviously a reference talking about our body that Hashem gifted us with, and we're full of averus, and that soa that we've soiled them with are the averus, right? It's an analogy, obviously, it's a parable, but literally the line I'm up to just happened to me. Like I get hit with soa, and then I look in the mouth, so you take your begadim and soil them with soa. And I mamish was like distraught. I'm like, what's the Rabbi Nisham telling me? What's this year going to be? You know how we think, right? I'm like, this whole year is gone already. Like I need next Yom Kippur. I have no shot. Mamish, this is how I'm thinking. I'm thinking like, I came all the way there to Sural, and this is to daven Yom Kippur, and this is what I have to find out. I'm like looking, I want to fast forward the whole year. That's how I'm thinking. And I couldn't go on. I couldn't even read on in Tfil Zaka. I'm like, and then Baruch Hashem, the Rebbe Nachman brought me a different thought. So I thought to myself, wait a minute. I did get hit by Tzoa. But it flicked right off and left no stain. It left no stain. Left nothing. Maybe the Rebbe Nachman telling me, yeah, it's true. I, like everybody else, like all of us, have sinned this year, have done wrong this year. We could have been better. We could have davened better. We could have treated people better. We could have treated the Rabbi Nishlam better. But it's going to be flicked off. You're going to be cleansed. It's a new beginning. We're good. I got your back. It was the biggest chizik in the world. I had a Yom Kippur Shein Kamo. It was incredible. Going in with that feeling, knowing and feeling, that's what the Rabbi Nishlam was telling me. That you're cleansed. It's Yom Kippur. It's atonement. It's a brand new world, a brand new beginning. It's the biggest chizik ever. And I learned then, mamish, what Yom Kippur is, and what Yom Kippur could be for each and every one of us. You know, the Yalkut Shimoni in Mishle says that there are two Yomim Tovim. When we're zoiche to Mashiach, will not be bottle. The two Yom Tovim that will not be nullified. I don't know if you've ever learned this before or know this, but Chazal teach us, when Mashiach comes, we're not going to celebrate Yom Tovim. Some of them make sense, right? You need to celebrate a Pesach, when we have a much grander geula of Mashiach. It's going to pale in comparison. You don't need a Pesach. It's nullified. We won't have Pesach. Like hopefully we will never have Pesach again. Maybe some of your mothers are excited about that, but MS, like hopefully we'll never have Pesach again. There are only two that we're going to always have, even when Mashiach comes, according to the Medrash. Purim and Yom Kippur. The only two will be Purim and Yom Kippur. This is a tremendous morale to explain why those two, and what's the common denominator. We know there are a lot of deep connections, Purim and Yom Kippur. We're not going to Yom Kippurim, right? Not going to go into them now. What's the connection of those two to even Yimos HaMashiach, that we will still be celebrating those two Yom Tov. The Maral says, both Purim and Yom Kippur are days of Tchiyas HaMesim. By Purim, there was a Gzeirah, there's a decree that was already sealed. It was already, Gemedrash says it was already a sealed decree that we're going to be wiped out. And we had Geula, we had redemption. Esther, Malkum, Mordechai, Tzadik, Haman destroyed. It was a level of Tchiyas HaMesim. We were back from the walking dead. We were supposed to be wiped out physically in the world. It seemed to have no chance. But even if you read Chazal, Hashem sealed, we'd be destroyed. Baruch Hashem wasn't sealed in blood, it was only sealed in cement. It's all another Torah for another time. That's what the Medrash says. But it was Tchiyas HaMesim. And every single Yom Kippur is Nachas Tchiyas HaMesim. We literally Tchiyas HaMesim. That all year long we fall, and all year long we stain our begadim, we stain ourselves in ways we could all admit to, and on Yom Kippur we will admit to, Al Chet Shechatani, Al Chet Shechatanu. But don't be misyayesh. Don't be misyayesh, don't be in despair. That's why we have Yom Kippur. It's going to be Tchiyas HaMesim. It's going to be Tchiyas HaMesim. It's going to be, mamish, a new life. Tchiyas HaMesim means it's brand new. It's not with any stains, not with any blemishes. It's brand new. It's kapara. It's atonement. Not just mechila and tzlicha. What an opportunity. How excited we should all should be. And how we should build off that. Right? The Shulchan Aruch says that we're medaktikim, that you should try to build your sukkah right after Yom Kippur, Matzah Yom Kippur. So that you immediately go into mitzvahs. Now, by the way, there's a shari tshuva that you should build your sukkah before Yom Kippur so you get tzchusim. It's a lot of answer. Best thing to do if you can. Either one is definitely fine. But if you can, best thing to do, build your walls before Yom Kippur. So you have the tzchusim of starting and put in your tzchach after Yom Kippur. That way you're mekayim both. But we should build our sukkah right after Yom Kippur. Our sukkah is our diras, our bias. It's our world that we dwell in after Yom Kippur. We're going to rebuild our new dira, our new world from Yom Kippur. This is the starting point. What is chus? We always want to restart. We always want to... Now is the opportunity for a restart in our lives. Mamish, an emesdig restart. What is chus? And how? I'll tell you where the kapara comes from continuously, not because Yom Kippur is one day a year. What's going to happen the day after, 2 days after when I do something wrong and then suddenly I got to wait a whole year till I cleanse myself in that? Because it's inevitable. No one's perfect. What's going to be? So you remember that Gemara we said before when we were discussing the Mechila, Slicha, Kapara? So we said Yom Kippur is Yom Slicha Mechila, the Gemara says. Yom Kippur is a day of slicha and mechila. Of forgiveness from our accidental sins, forgiveness from our sins we've done on purpose, slicha mechila. What about kapara? Why is that not in the Gemara? We're saying kapara is the most important. We're saying kapara is the ikker. Why is kapara not in the Gemara then? If kapara is the highest level. So I didn't read the end of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Yom Kippur is Yom Slicha Mechila and Yom Shenitna Bar Luchas Shnias. It's also the day that we got the second Luchas. So first of all, that giving us the second Luchas was a sign of Kapara from the Egel. Meaning, we did the Egel and the Luchas were broken. You know where we saw that our relationship was back to where it started even before the Chet Egel? When Hashem not only said, it's Yom Slicha Mechila, I forgive you, I'm going to give you a new Luchas. It's a new beginning. So that symbolized the kapara of that dar, of that generation. But that means it's our kapara as well. The kapara is on Yom Kippur too. It's through Luchos Shnios. Luchos Shnios, what about our Luchos Shnios? All year long we take the Luchos of the Ribbono Shel Olam and we try our best to keep to our mitzvahs. But let's be real, at times they're broken. And at times we don't live up to who I should be as a Jew, as an Eved Hashem, as a Bas Torah. In both my Ben Olam Hakum and my Ben Olam Chavera, which are equally important. Let's not ever forget that. Something, you know, I said my Zadie's Yortzeit, called him Papi, was this past Friday. My Zadie was a tzaddik like you've never met. And strongly in this way, his Ben Olam Chavera, the way he treated every person in the world, was just as chashuv as his Ben Olam Hakum, as his relationship with Hashem and his tefillah and his learning. And one was not more important than the other. It's just as important. And that's just as much avodas Hashem. Don't ever forget that. So important, we forget. But often throughout the year, mine is, it's broken. I took those luchas and I broke them. Yom Kippur's luchas shnias. Yom Kippur's new luchas. I have to rededicate to Torah mitzvahs. And that will be my kapara. In a real way. Each and every one of us in our own ways. Whatever we feel we need to rededicate. But this is the opportunity. There's no grander opportunity than a Yom Kippur. Once a year, we have this day of complete kapara, of real tchias hameisim, a new beginning. So let's grab onto them, build a new bias, build our sukkos in a new way, and look forward to this opportunity. Look forward to this opportunity of Yom Kippur, of a new start, of a new beginning. You know, there was a big tzaddik who lived in the late 1800s, died in the early 1900s, the Rashbats. Rav Shmuel Bezalel Shaftel. The Rashbats was the Rebbe of Rav Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson. Rav Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson was the Lubavitch Rebbe Zazal, Rav Nachum Mendel, the one that we know of, his father-in-law, who was the previous Rebbe before him. If you go to the oil, which I'm sure you all do, to Davin, so he's buried there together with the Rebbe. The Rebbe Rav Nachum Mendel Zatzal and Rav Yosef Yitzchak Zatzal. The Rebbe used to go down by the oil all the time, to daven by his father-in-law, by the previous Rebbe. So Rashbat used to say the following story. Rav Yosef Yitzchak's Rebbe. He said, in a small town in Russia, there was a man who made his living by being a porter. Porter meant he'd move things for people. He'd help people move whatever needed to be moved from one place to another. And his young son assisted him every day. And every day they used to wake up very early in the morning, 3, 4 in the morning. And they started the day, they went. And they went to Davin, seemingly Nate's. They went to Davin. And after the Davin, they'd eat together. And they'd work all day together. And then they go home. And one day, it was a tainus. It was Tainus in summer, must have been Shemus Batamas. And they go in the morning, and they go to Shul to daven, very early in the morning. And after davening, the son's excited because he loved eating with his father every morning, gave him koyach. Father says, no, today we're not eating. It's a fast day. And they go and they work the whole day, and the son throughout the day, when are we going to eat? When can we eat, Tati? When are we going to be able to eat? Till finally, the end of the day, they finally ate. It was a very difficult day for the son. So next morning, when the father went to wake up his son, the boy refused to get up. He wouldn't budge. He says, I don't want to get up. I don't want to work. I'm afraid that you're not going to let me eat again today. I'm afraid it was so hard for him. I'm not going to be able to eat again. So his father said to him, my son, have no fear. Today is not yesterday. He says, today is not yesterday. So to each and every one of us. You know, we get used to our days. We're used to one day being the same as the day before. And the inability and difficulty in changing and growing in the ways that we want to, and the situations in our life, the way we act. Yom Kippur is mamish, as the name tells us. Tchias HaMeisim is a new beginning. When we go through Yom Kippur, for sure we could believe and understand that today is not yesterday. Yom Kippur is going to be easy. When I say easy, we all fast and daven. To be a malach is not hard. But wake up the day after. To wake up on Thursday morning and say, today is not yesterday. It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning of Kedusha of Tahara. I'm cleansed. A restart. My Lucha Shnius. New Avodah Hashem. In whatever area, each of every one of us in our own ways. And throughout Yom Kippur, you have all day to contemplate and to think about. How am I going to change? How is it going to be that today is not yesterday in my personal life, in whatever areas? But make it real and feel it and look forward. And Mirz Hashem will be for every Yid, Tchias HaMesim. And again, that's why, by the way, it makes so much sense. Those are the two Yom Tovim. They will not be Mavatel. Because in the days of Mashiach is the time of Tchias HaMesim. So it's a Yontav Tchias HaMesim. We're still going to celebrate the Yom Tovim and Tchias HaMesim of Purim Yom Kippur. But if we live them in the right way, we live Yom Kippur and feel the Tchias HaMesim, and feel that today is not yesterday, then maybe we'll zocha to the ultimate Tchias HaMesim. B'zoicha to Mashiach, b'zoicha to Gula, b'zoicha to Gula Shleima. But Amir Tashem, we'll be zoicha to that. But even until then, if we're not zoicha to that globally, every single one of you should feel the Tchias HaMesim in your own individual lives. Should feel the Yom Kapara. Should feel and understand today is not yesterday. And have a Gemar Chassi Metoiva, a year of Simcha, a year of Bracha, a year of tremendous Besuras Toivas and Yeshuas for each and every one of you. I'll be Zoyche, as I said, to be in Yisrael. I'll daven for each and every one of you. Please daven for me. Because let me tell you something, don't think you can't close your eyes and also be by the Kaisel. When you're in your Tefillah Lachash, just close your eyes. It's a little bit more up to you. You have to use a little more machshava when you're not actually there. It's true. You think the Rabbanu Shem is not just as much by your side? So it should be big tefillas. It should be a gemar chasim tayva of your simcha and bracha for each and every one of us and for all of Klal Yisrael. Have a good vach, a good yar. Continue soon. Hopefully in your shleimah kodesh.